জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারী, গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারী, জয় যশোদানন্দন ব্রজ জনরঞ্জন, যশোদানন্দন ব্রজ জনরঞ্জন, যমুনা তীর বন চারি, যমুনা তীর বন চারি, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, জ্ঞানতিমিরন্ধস্য জ্ঞানঞ্জনশলাকয়া চক্ষুরুন্মীলিতম যেন তস্মৈ শ্রীগুরবে নমঃ, শ্রীচৈতন্যমনোভীষ্টম স্থাপিতম যেন ভূতলে, স্বয়ং রূপ কদা মহ্যম দদাতি স্বপদান্তিকম্। বন্দেহম শ্রীগুরু শ্রীযুত পদকমলম শ্রীগুরুন বৈষ্ণবাংশ্চ শ্রীরূপম সাগ্রজাতম সহগনা রঘুনাথান্বিতাম স্তাম সজীবম সাদ্বৈতম সাবধূতম পরিজনা সহিতম শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য দেবম শ্রীরাধা কৃষ্ণ পাদাম সহগনা ললিতা শ্রীবিশাখান্বিতাংশ্চ। নমো বিষ্ণুপাদায় কৃষ্ণপৃষ্ঠায় ভূতলে শ্রীমতে ভক্তিবেদান্ত স্বামিনীতি নামিনে, নমস্তে সরস্বতী দেবে গৌরবাণী প্রচারিণে, নির্বিশেষ শূন্যবাদী পাশ্চাত্যদেশতারিণে, জয় শ্রী কৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শ্রীবাসাদি শ্রী গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ, তপ্ত কাঞ্চন গৌরাঙ্গী রাধে বৃন্দাবনেশ্বরী বৃষভানুসুতে দেবী প্রণমামি হরি প্রিয়ে। হে কৃষ্ণ করুণা সিন্ধু দীনবন্ধু জগৎপতে, गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्ते। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are studying Canto 3, Chapter 6, Verse 26. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Ito Suritaragatim Pratipadya Sadhya Samramba Sambhrita Samadhi Anubhadha Yogau Bhuya sakasham upayasyata ashu yova Sapo mayaiva nimitas tad aveta vipraha Eto suritaragatim pratipadya sadhyah Samramba Sambhrita Samadhi Anubaddha Yogau Bhuyaha Sakasham Upayasatya Ashu Yovaha Sapo Mayaiva Nimitas Tadevita Vipraha Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, Eto, these two doorkeepers, Sura Itara, demoniac, Gatim, the womb, Pratipadya, obtaining, Sadyaha, quickly, Samrambha, by anger, Sambhrita, intensified, Samadhi, concentration of mind, Anubaddha, firmly, Yogau, united with me, Bhuyaha, again, Sakasham, to my presence, Upayasyataha, shall return, Ashu, shortly, Yaha, which, Vaha, of you, Shapaha, curse, Maya, by me, Eva, alone, Nimitaha, ordained, Tat, that, Aveta, no, Vipraha, O Brahmanas. Translation. The Lord replied, O Brahmanas, know that the punishment you inflicted on them was originally ordained by me, and therefore they will fall to a birth in a demoniac family. But they will be firmly united with me in thought through mental concentration intensified by anger, and they will return to my presence shortly. Purport. The Lord stated that the punishment inflicted by the sages upon the doorkeepers Jaya and Vijaya was conceived by the Lord himself. Without the Lord's sanction, nothing can happen. It is to be understood that there was a plan in the cursing of the Lord's devotees in Vaikuntha, and his plan is explained by many stalwart authorities. The Lord sometimes desires to fight. The fighting spirit also exists in the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, how could fighting be manifested at all? Because the Lord is the source of everything, anger and fighting are also inherent in his personality. When he desires to fight with someone, he has to find an enemy. But in the Vaikuntha world, there is no enemy, because everyone is fully engaged in his service. Therefore, he sometimes comes to the material world as an incarnation in order to manifest his fighting spirit. In Bhagavad Gita 4.8, also it is said that the Lord appears just to give protection to the devotees and to annihilate the non-devotees. The non-devotees are found in the material world, not in the spiritual world. Therefore, when the Lord wants to fight, he has to come to this world. But who will fight with the Supreme Lord? No one is able to fight with him. Therefore, because the Lord's pastime in the material world are always performed by his associates, not with others, he has to find some devotee who will play the part of an enemy. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says to Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, both you and I have appeared many, many times in this material world, but you have forgotten, whereas I remember. Thus, Jaya and Vijaya were selected by the Lord to fight with him in the material world, and that was the reason the sages came to see him, and accidentally the doorkeepers were cursed. It was the Lord's desire to send them to the material world, not perpetually, but for some time. Therefore, just as on a theatrical stage, someone takes the part of the enemy to the proprietor of the stage, although the play is for a short time and there is no permanent enmity between the servant and the proprietor, so the Surajanas, devotees, were cursed by the sages to go to the Asurajana or atheistic families. That a devotee should come into an atheistic family is surprising, but it is simply a show. After finishing their mock fighting, both the devotee and the Lord are again associated in the spiritual planets. That is very explicitly explained here. The conclusion is that no one falls from the spiritual world or Vaikuntha planet, for it is the eternal abode. But sometimes, as the Lord desires, devotees come into this material world as preachers or as atheists. In each case, we must understand that there is a plan of the Lord. Lord Buddha, for example, was an incarnation, yet he preached atheism, there is no God. But actually, there was a plan behind this, as explained in the Bhagavatam. Wow. Srila Prabhupada's words are self-evident. I don't have much to add except share some realizations, and I will try to avoid controversy as much as possible. It is explained by our previous acharyas, in particular Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that even when we see jivas in this world in various conditions doing things that don't make sense to us, we must understand that each one of us are actually on our path back to Krishna. And he gives this example in his book, The Bhagavata, its theology, ethics and philosophy. That imagine there is a mountain. And somebody is climbing to the summit from the southern side of the mountain. Somebody is climbing from the northern side. Somebody is climbing from the eastern side, and somebody is climbing on the western side. Now the person who is climbing from the western side, is that person traveling east? And the person who is climbing from the eastern side, is that person traveling west? So these two people are traveling in opposite directions. But they are going to the same summit. Sri Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that every living entity follows my path even though they may not understand or know it. And nothing really happens beyond the will and the desire of Bhagavan. And therefore, even though it appears that we are traveling in opposite directions and somebody is a demon and somebody is a devotee, both are on the path to attain the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami explains in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and this is a little complex idea, so I request your patience and attention with this, that ultimately there are 12 rasas. This is in the Nectar of Devotion. And my study of Rupa Goswami essentially helped me boil it down into a graph. Do you know what a graph is? An x-axis and a y-axis? Think of a graph where the x-axis has the five primary rasas: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. And then the y-axis as the seven other rasas, like Jugupsa, you know, abhorrence, or Rudra, anger, or Shringara, romance, and so on and so forth. And if you think of rasas as a graph, every living entity is at a certain point in that graph on that x and y axis in relation to Krishna. So somebody may be in the mood of dasya but have raudra or anger. And this is what is explained in this particular purport, that the Lord enjoys drama. I mean, look at our lives. There is so much drama, no? Just, you know, whether you're in school and you've forgotten to do your homework, what happens there? Drama. Teacher will get angry. You promised you're going to do groceries on your way back home and you forgot 3 essential items for dinner that night. What will happen at home? Drama. If you have ignored paying your taxes for, you know, some time, I don't want to trigger anything. I pay my taxes every year. But, you know, if you've forgotten to pay your taxes for some time, what will happen with the government? Big drama. Now, you know, in India, sometimes there is a lot of public drama. How many of you have been to India? Have you seen? Nowadays it happens less, but when I was a kid growing up there, it used to happen more frequently. One fine morning, I saw a large cow enter the passageway to our home. And you know, there is something I learned about cows that morning. First of all, they don't care about your sense of timing. I was supposed to go to school, my father was supposed to go to office, and the cows were standing there. And there's a second thing I learned about cows that morning, that once a cow enters forward, it is very difficult for it to walk backwards. Have you noticed that? Cows only move forward. They don't move backwards. So there I was. And the neighborhood people came and they were trying to pull the cow by its tail. And, you know, we were trying to push it and the cow was getting more scared. Imagine the drama. So no matter what you do in this world, sooner or later, there is going to be drama. But here is the deal. If you look at Radha Shyam Sundar, Krishna Balaram, Nithai Gaur Sundar, if you look at the whole altar, do you see a curtain here? Does it look like a stage? Isn't this where drama start? For you to have a drama, you need to have a stage and a curtain. The curtain falls, and then the curtain opens, a new drama begins. Correct? And so it is with the Lord. Krishna plans certain dramas. And when Krishna plans dramas, you know, when God is dramatic, it can be deadly. So when Krishna plans a certain drama, Krishna chooses, okay, you're going to play this role and you're going to play this role and you are going to be my enemy and you're going to be my friend and here I am going to play a prank on you. And now imagine on a stage, if a hero is playing a prank on his friend, is the friend supposed to feel surprised on stage? It has to be natural. And so it is in the spiritual world. Krishna has 24/7 drama going on with his beloved devotees. But that drama isn't enough. He wants to continue that drama in the material world. So he sends certain devotees here. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his Krishna Sanghita that demons don't exist in the spiritual world. They only manifest in the material world. And even then, demons can be understood in the material world in three ways. You're interested in this? You know, demons always create ruckus, correct? But the first thing we have to understand is that this is also the drama of the Lord. And this ruckus will not last very long. And this drama is happening so that Krishna can come and save the day. For those who are in, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Komala Shraddha, whose faith is fragile, they will look at the disruption in this world and begin to question the existence of the Lord. Those who are Uttama Adhikaris, Uttama Bhaktas, they will look at the same drama and surrender to the Lord. But those who are Madhyamas, Madhyamas means those who go with reason and doubt, will see that the demons in this world are actually a projection of certain archetypes that we have within ourselves. Now, what does that mean, archetype? There are these kind of exemplary demons within us. So, for example, in Krishna's Leela, there is a demon called Bakasura. Baka means a crane. Have you seen cranes standing somewhere, you know, in Florida swamps, standing on one leg, the other leg is raised up? Doesn't it look very yogic? You know, yogis are able to stand on one leg for a long period of time and they are in meditation. So a baka or a crane appears to be in meditation standing on one leg. But what is the crane meditating on? The crane is meditating on the fish. So there is an archetype, there is a little part of us where, you know, we manifest that Bakasura. I'll give you one example. How many of you really want to have that third Gulab Jamun on a Janmashtami night, but prasad is running short, and therefore you appear to be this most self-sacrificing, at least I have done it, the most self-sacrificing Vaishnava in the community, I am going to let my Gulab Jamun go. Right? But what is your meditation on? Gulab Jamuns. So sometimes we have that habit within us where we appear very yogic and detached, but actually we are meditating on enjoyment. That is the Bakasura within us. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if you are a Madhyama Bhakta, that is how you understand demons and also understand that Krishna is going to come and kill that Bakasura within you. Similarly, each and every demon in Krishna's Leela is actually a negative anartha within us that Krishna is going to kill. Now one may understand that even that is Krishna's desire in a certain way. If Krishna did not give us that misgiving, anartha, then we will not work hard to overcome that and come to Krishna. And my realization on this particular purport, and I'll stop after this and open the floor up for questions, is that, you know, when we pray for patience, it's not that Krishna is going to say, boom, here you go, patience. Krishna is going to create circumstances where we learn to be patient. If you want patience, Krishna is not going to give you patience. Krishna is going to create circumstances where we learn to be patient. If you want to be humble, Krishna, make me humble. It's a dangerous prayer, by the way. Huh? Be careful about what you pray. Krishna will create the circumstances to make you humble. If you want to love Krishna, Krishna will create the circumstances for us to love Krishna. Those circumstances may not be very pleasant for us, but we will not have any other choice but to love Krishna in that circumstance and to surrender to Him. So what does Jay and Vijay pray for? Remember, they are doorkeepers. Do doorkeepers get to spend any time with the Master? They're outside. You know, there is a party going on in Vaikuntha, but Jay and Vijay doesn't have access. They are the bouncers. Right? And so when somebody comes and they want to enter the party, they said, no, stop. And the four Kumaras, they are like, you know, why are you doing this? We have a right to see the Lord. And they curse the doorkeepers. And Krishna says, all right, not a bad idea. I am going to play. And I invite you to play villains. And we are going to have some drama for some time. It's going to be for a short while. We'll have fun. And then you will come back to me. Remember, you're never lost to me. So actually the curse of Jai and Vijay is a great boon. Because while in Vaikuntha, they could not meet the Lord face to face. They had to be outside his door. In the material world, they could play directly with the Lord. Isn't that greatly fortunate? So in the spiritual dimension, there are no curses, there are no demons, and everything is fortunate. And if we are in that realm, in that domain, then there is no question of coming back. And so the last part that Prabhupada explains here is that it is the eternal abode. And once we are there, if we pray for patience, Krishna is going to create a drama where we learn patience. But nobody really is outside Krishna's drama. And the last thing that I said is Krishna is going to create opportunities for us. If you want to be patient, Krishna will create the opportunity to be patient. And Krishna does that by playing and inviting you as a character in a drama. How many of us have played some part in a drama? I know Prabhu has. He's a very famous actor. You know, when you enter a drama, you have to practice several times. You have to rehearse. And then when the drama starts, time stops for everybody. The audience gets sucked into the story of the drama. Correct? And this is the regular spiritual practice of all Vaishnavas in this world. We wake up, we wake Krishna up. And then the rest of the day we have entered Krishna's drama. And there is a very nice Vaishnava who did his PhD on Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. His name is David Haberman. His initiated name is Prem Das. And he wrote a book called Acting as a Way of Salvation. It got published through Oxford University Press, but I like the title, Acting as a Way of Salvation. That being liberated from this world and entering Krishna's drama is our sadhana, is our spiritual practice. So thank you so much. I am always very grateful to be among all of you, blessed Vaishnavas, senior Vaishnavas. And Alachua is my home. So it's always good to come back here, no matter where I am on the planet. I am supposed to travel to India in this weekend. But somehow, Mother Mukhya and Mother Sri Gaurangi squeezed this time in. And I am grateful to them and all of you for being here. So we can hear any comments, thoughts, questions.
So Krishna's given us consciousness and logic and reason. And we often hear that one never falls from Vaikuntha, but then we often hear that by misuse of our minute independence, we fell from a spiritual world and became contaminated in this material world. And by the process of bhakti, we can go back. So it goes back and forth in a few different places and a few different throughout the Bhagavatam, discussing that the jiva is eternally existing, and once one goes to the spiritual world, it never comes back to the material world. But you know, there's also that controversy: not a leaf falls from Vaikuntha, and things like that. So maybe you can just give a little summary of your understanding of that.
Since you have permitted to give a summary of my understanding, I will stick to that. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that there are two kinds of people in this world. In Bengali, he called them machi and momachi. So there is a poetic ring to that, machi and momachi. Machi means a fly, and momachi means a bee. I have interculturally translated that as there are two kinds of attitudes in this world, the attitude of a fly and the attitude of a butterfly. Not exactly, I know, I used a butterfly instead of a bee. You know, butterflies always go to nectar, like bees do. Whereas flies are always attracted to filth. One of the joys of living in the city of Gainesville is that a lot of people take their dogs out for a walk and don't pick up after them. And that's where all the flies go, I've seen. And Saraswati Thakur explains that so it is with controversies. Even within Vaishnava society, the flies will get attracted to controversy. But the butterflies or the bees will actually go for the nectar. So if there is a philosophical point that is not making logical sense in our head, then we succumb to the habit of our previous material self and create a controversy out of it. That kind of engagement in a controversy is not conducive for one's devotional service. If we understand, and here is my answer to that whole controversy. And it's not my answer, it's Mahaprabhu's answer. Reality is paradoxical, not contradictory. Let's pause there to understand that. Bheda is real. Abheda is also real. How can the two exist together? Achintya. Achintya means it's inconceivable. That means these are not contradictory, these are paradoxical. Contradiction means there are two things that are opposed to each other and cannot exist. One must win. A paradox is that two opposites can coexist by virtue of a higher principle. So have jivas fallen from Vaikuntha or are jivas eternal? You can create a lot of controversy about it, write books, have meetings, ban people, whatever. That is not the Vaishnava way of doing things. Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, they have all explained that contradictions can be harmonized by a higher principle. So did Jai Vijay fall from the spiritual world? Yes. But did they really fall from the spiritual world? No. Are both possible? Yes. Why? Because it's paradoxical, not contradictory. That is the nature of spiritual reality. The nature of material reality is also like that. Think about it, Prabhu. You are looking at me. Your eyes are actually seeing the whole room upside down. It's basic biology. Your brain then flips the image and you are thinking I am sitting on the floor. Does that visual exist? Yes. Does this visual exist? Yes. Both exists. It's paradoxical. And if there are any scientists in the room, they will know that the reality of existence at a quantum level defies all the laws of physics. If you want to study more, please go to Bhaktivedanta Institute and talk to the people there. They know this. But essentially, you know, we think the world is working in a certain way, and then science tells us no. And are they right? Yes. I mean, they can experiment and show us. Are they absolutely right? No. And I'll do a little thought experiment in 1 minute. Ready for a thought experiment? You know, our bodies are basically, you know, bones are made of calcium. The rest of our body are mostly hydrocarbons. Right? From the empirical scientific point of view, you know, what is a carbon atom? What is a hydrogen atom? What is a calcium atom? These elements, they're 99% empty space. 99.99% empty space and 0.1% energy. So you are seeing me here, right? Essentially, this is 99% empty space sitting on 99% empty space. That is a scientific fact. But are you seeing 99% empty space? You exactly. Right? So essentially, it's a if I say everything is 99% empty space, but you are seeing things, that's a contradiction. But no, reality is paradoxical. That 99% empty space is true at the atomic level, but objects are solid at a physical level. So in this purport, Jaya Vijay falls into the material world, does horrible demonic things. But at the same time, do they really fall? Krishna says, no. You're going to play with me and you're going to be in samadhi on me through anger. And that's why I gave the graph. Right? Hiranyakashipu was the father of Prahlada. Right? And Narasingadev also had Vatsalya Bhav towards Prahlada. Hiranyakashipu and Narasingadev were enemies, opposite of friends, opposite of Sakya in Raudra. Now you can plot a point in that graph and say, okay, this is where Hiranyakashipu is. Does Hiranyakashipu ever stop being a devotee of the Lord? No. But on stage, he is the enemy. Is he an enemy or a friend? Both. Is that contradictory? No, it's paradoxical. That's the nature of drama. I hope I was able to reflect on your question, Prabhu. Mrikanda Prabhu and Dasarath Prabhu and Mahatji.
Thank you, Prabhu. Of late, I've played demon roles on stage, so I know of what you speak. But sometimes we forget that this is a drama and we take the mind too seriously. And so there's that saying, do you mind? And sometimes I say, yes, I mind. Because, oh, I'm not the body, but I am the mind, because I feel so strongly. That and others, especially in close relationship, we often have these emotional and mindful things. So how do we remember as a spirit soul, as a devotee, as an eternal part and parcel of Krishna, that he is always in control and that he always has our best interest at heart, especially when we seek him, and not get caught up in the trauma and the drama.
The trauma and the drama.
Of tamas, rajas, yeah. But rise above in trust, you know, trust this lila of Krishna and in a favorable mood. And seeing the anarthas, the unwanted, dirty things in the mind and heart, which, yes, sometimes appear in ourself, adhyatmic, as demons, or even in others, adhibhautic, as unfavorable things, but not shift into judgment, this criticism, this blame, shame, and leave it to Krishna, you know, as he's doing so expertly with Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, and trust him, and thereby maintain that humble simplicity of heart and mind so that we can be peaceful. Maybe you can
speak. The answer is in your question. The only thing I have to add is, since you mentioned you are an actor, you know, there is a system called method acting. Method acting is you completely enter the character of the, you know, role you are playing. And there you forget your, you know, when you are playing Hiranyakashipu, you enter that mood. And I think in our service to Krishna, if we are fully absorbed, that's what happens. That, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, if you look at like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, right? In his mood. In his approach to Krishna, his service is like that of a Manjari. But he is a gentleman in Calcutta. And so his method acting is that, you know, sometimes he has to be fierce with people. And he does that. Sometimes judgment is necessary. But if it is done with love, you know, Prabhupada used to call so many people rascals. That's judgment right there. But, you know, we do it with hatred, with anger. Prabhupada used to do it out of love, out of the best concern for that individual. So if you're able to do it like that, I think it's fine. It's my 2 cents, 2 pesos. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for participating in the Lord's drama by coming here and speaking some of these things.
For letting me.
As you can see, the stage and the curtains. And who are we? Just like if you go to Broadway in New York City, you'll see some drama. So sometimes the drama is arranged so that they have their own staff is hidden in the audience. So that they can pull some prank in the middle of the production, like boo at the characters or praise them. In the arts, it's called stooge. When you have stooges in the audience, they secretly do the will of the director. But the audience who has arrived, they don't know that. So here we have the Lord's stage and curtains. And so we are all the Lord's drama participants. We are all in on the production.
Yes.
We're not just random audience that just showed up, we bought a ticket, and doesn't know what's happening. We know what's happening because Srila Prabhupada told us.
Thank you. You
mentioned Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sri Krishna Samhita. It's a very deep and mysterious book. And also, the archetypes of the demons. I also got, 45 years ago, his Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, where he describes those demon archetypes even in more detail.
Yes.
So the purport mentioned the topic that you already touched on, the jiva fall or jiva not fall issue, which we're not going to hash that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there that the demon Trinavarta, he's the one that stirs up these controversies that are never resolved.
Correct. Thank you so much for saying that.
Just like we have in USA, if you see the news on the internet or TV or whatever, we have these tornadoes that attack. Middle Florida, we had recently some tornadoes. So if you've ever seen or experienced a tornado, everything is ruined. Roof ripped off, buildings smashed, trees knocked over. So when the archetype demon of Trinavarta gets into our devotional life and our relationships,
yes,
that kind of destruction happens to our devotional creepers.
Thank you.
Bhakti Lata is ripped up and thrown across the field.
Amen.
And the leaves are torn off. So let's try to avoid those. It's Trinavarta demon.
Thank you. That's exactly what I meant when I said that these controversies are in the mind. And only those who are looking for, I'm not going to use bad words here, looking for filth, get attracted to that. So those who are constantly, did you hear this? Did you hear the latest controversy, Prabhu? I've had enough. Thank you. I don't want Trinavarta in my life. Thank you for making that point. Really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for sharing your realization and distinguishing controversy with paradox. Very nice. Let's see. Oh, yes. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur sees the demons as different anarthas. Kaliya is what anartha, and Trinavarta is what anartha.
Read the Chaitanya Shikshamrita and Krishna Sanghita and you will get. There is one particular chapter. I don't exactly remember each one of them in detail.
Okay, I thought you would.
Kala is time. Yeah. Kaliya is that. Kaliya is called, in Sanskrit, the rule is Tadhita. Tadhita means a derivative, like Pandu, Pandava, Kala, Kaliya. Right? So Kaliya essentially represents the snake of time. And I've also read it somewhere. I can't exactly remember the reference. But Kaliya represents our uncontrolled tongue.
Huh.
Yeah. Huh? Huh? Maliciousness. So we speak things that are not, that are Krishnetara, the beyond you know, spiritual topics, that's emitting poison in the world. And when Krishna starts dancing on our tongue in the form of the holy name, he casts out that poison of maliciousness. Huh? That's just now that edition is being printed?
We published Krishna Samhita. It's been out of print for a couple of years.
Okay. It's a nice book. Some people say that it's a preaching strategy, but my understanding is that, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had it printed in the early phases of his career, and then he reprinted it towards his later career, when he was, you know. And it's a very relevant book for all devotees to come to a more mature realization of Krishna Bhakti. Yes.
Okay, on a lighter note, why do scientists not like atoms?
Why do scientists not like atoms?
Yes. Because they make up everything.
Because they make up everything. Good joke. I'm going to remember that one.
But on a serious note, okay. I think also the contrast, the reason why there's demon and divine, I think that demoniac side has to be there in order to show us where we may venture or can venture, or where we maybe, you know, can go astray. So, and I think that reflection of that can also guide us to, you know, perhaps not, you know, it can be that perverted reflection of where we don't want to go. And then I wanted to know, have you ever heard of this? She's a doctor. She works with intuitive medicine. Her name is Carolyn Mace. But she speaks about archetypes a lot. But reading this about how all of this is staged, she also says that even kind of like also a mirror reflection would be that we also, when we want to come and just say, like, I want to take birth because I really want to learn how to forgive. I want to know what that feels like. I want to know. Well, then someone has to say, okay, I love you enough that I'm going to come, I'll take birth too, I'll come with you, and I'll do, et cetera, you know, and that's our pastime. And I'll give you that opportunity so you can really understand what it feels like and means, you know, that concept of forgiveness. Is that too far-fetched from...
You know? That could be one among many reasons, but it sounds pretty valid.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Prabhu. Your classes make you think so much. If Krishna is orchestrating everything, all his pastimes, how do our free will come? I mean, if we're not, you know, sanctioning with Krishna, like, if he comes, he wants to fight. Like Giant Vijay, they were able to, their own free will, how to fight or how to, I mean, or Krishna orchestrated that too.
Huh. That's such a good question, no? Free will? Once you are in a drama, you have the free will to act your best. And you have the free will to enjoy the drama or not. Pain is inevitable. Suffering is an option. That's where free will comes in. No, pain is inevitable. You walk out of the door, you stub your toe. That's painful. How we respond to it, that's where our free will lies. And we have to finish in 2 minutes, so I'll keep a 2-minute answer. And, you know, think about a tennis game. You know, tennis. There are some laws that you cannot violate, like the law of gravity, the law of friction, the laws of motion. They are in operation when you're playing tennis, right? That you cannot manipulate. It's fixed. There is no free will there. But how you serve, how much you practice, What rules you make in the game? Is it going to be two players or four players? Do you have free will there? There you go, you have your answer. So there are some things where you have your free will, there are some things in which you don't have free will. Right? And once we have engaged in some action, there is going to be consequence. In that consequence, you don't have free will to choose. You know, if you eat sugar, your blood sugar will spike. You have the free will to the halwa. But glucose test, the numbers, you have no free will. That is your body's decision. So in tennis, in blood sugar, and also in all of existence and spiritual life, there is a play of will, Krishna's will, and our will. Our will is what we are calling free will, and Krishna's will is what we are calling determinism. But both are there. Was I able to answer your question? Thank you. Right. Thank you so much. I'm very, very grateful. Please keep me in your prayers. Hare Krishna.